We live in a world where the laws in different nations are always changing one way or another. Laws are sometimes tightened to become more restrictive. Laws are sometimes loosened. And laws are sometimes just abandoned and changed. And in some situations, you can have laws now that are almost the opposite of what they were in the past. Recently in the United States, in the state of Utah, they have changed one of their laws. And the law that they have changed is the law that says that it's a crime to be married to more than one person at a time. And they have decriminalized what is known as polygamy. And if that is carried through, it opens the possibility for a man to be married to more than one woman, more than one wife, or a woman to have more than one husband. It opens the way for multiple relationships. In the way that marriage has been redefined, and any two people effectively can now be married, if one woman can marry another woman, as has happened here in Northern Ireland, well, why can one woman not marry two other women, or three other women, or the same with men? If there is no absolute standard to refer to, well then, why could these things not be? And with homosexuality, it was first of all decriminalized, and it has led on to many other changes in the law. The same thing can happen with marriage, and marriage laws could be very different in a few decades from what they are at present or what they have been in the past. Wouldn't it be a good thing if there was some sort of standard that you could refer to, some sort of guideline for laws, some sort of lines? And of course, God has provided those lines. God has provided for us in the Ten Commandments a standard of morality which has been used in many different nations as the basis of the laws of the land. I want to, over the next weeks, I want to revisit the Ten Commandments. I think it's a good thing to preach on the Ten Commandments every now and then, and it's the best part of 14 years since I did it. And there are some people in the congregation now whose life circumstances are quite different from what they were 14 years ago. You have changed, our country has changed, our laws have changed, the things that are live issues now have changed somewhat from then. The Ten Commandments are very important for our understanding of life and society. The Ten Commandments insist upon respect for God, respect for parents, respect for life, respect for marriage, respect for property, respect for truth. And all of those things are very important. But the Ten Commandments are not just important for society, but they're important for you and for me. Each one of us needs to be reminded of the law of God. And whether you're not yet a Christian, whether you've been a Christian for a short time or whether you've been one for a good while, it's important for you to understand the message of the Ten Commandments. And I want to speak today in introducing the Ten Commandments and to think about what they're all about. What's the point in the Ten Commandments? And I want to speak about four purposes that God had in giving us the Ten Commandments. And then there are four other things I want to say briefly in closing. I believe that the 4 points that I have, I think it was George McEwen that is credited with the outline of these four purposes of the law. They're not exclusive to George, but I think he came up with these headings, and I'm going to stick with them. What's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? First of all, the Ten Commandments, they show us our sin. The Ten Commandments show us our sin. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments. They're not there in the Bible to show you that you're better than other people. The Ten Commandments are there to show you your sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul speaks of this. The NIV translation says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Through the law of God, we become conscious of sin. Through the Ten Commandments, we see our sin. God's law was never given as a means by which people could be right with God, but rather God's law was given to show us that we are not right with God. God's law was given to show us that we are sinners, so that we might understand that we are not law keepers, but that we are law breakers. It's often the case that unless we know of the existence of a law, we'll not be aware that we're actually doing anything that's wrong. If someone comes to this land from another country, say France, well, it's important for them to understand that in this country we drive on the left-hand side of the road. If they come here and do what they normally do in France, drive on the right-hand side of the road, the consequences will be disastrous. And probably those consequences have been felt in this locality in some of the accidents that have taken place. Well, God has laws. And in summarizing those laws for us in the Ten Commandments, God is showing us that we have broken his laws. And it's good for us to understand that. It's good for us to realize that we are lawbreakers. If you had a physical illness, a serious physical illness, and you didn't know about it, but your doctor knew about it, it would be no kindness on your doctor's part to pretend that everything was well. And the same thing is true spiritually. Wouldn't it be kind of God to let us think that we are those who have kept his law? So the law of God, summarized in the Ten Commandments, it is given to us so we will understand that we are sinners, that we are lawbreakers. When people have no understanding that they're sinners, they see no need whatsoever for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. No need for it. No need to be born again. No need to be saved. I'm all right. But when people understand that they've broken every law of God, well then, it's a different story. The Ten Commandments, what's the point in them? They show us our sin. Second thing, second purpose of the Ten Commandments is that they surpass our strength. And in a sense, this is even worse news for us. Not only is it the case that we are sinners who have broken God's law, but we are those who cannot keep the law of God. We do not have the strength to keep the commandments of God. That is something that surpasses our strength. We don't have it in us. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 7:14, he says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but," he says, "I am unspiritual, and I am sold as a slave to sin." And a few verses later, he says, "I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No," he says, "the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." And Paul recognized that he wasn't able to keep the commands of God. He wanted to keep the commands of God. He wanted to be a lawkeeper, but it was beyond him. It was too much. And whenever the Lord Jesus was in this world and he was teaching about the commandments, he taught how deep the commandments of God go. And so, for example, he taught that anyone who is angry with his brother is guilty of murder. And he taught that anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has committed adultery with her in his heart. It's not just that we have broken God's law, but we can't keep the law of God. And if we realize we have broken the commandments, then the natural reaction is that, well, maybe we can do something else that will make up for the wrong that we've done. But that's just not possible. We cannot cancel out all those commands that we've already broken. We can't change the past. And we can't change the present or the future either. We don't have the ability to do the things that God says we must do. And that is a sobering truth that we all need to come to terms with. It's a devastating truth to realize that we can't do what God commands. We don't do what God commands, but we can't do what God commands. So the Ten Commandments, they show us our sin and they surpass our strength. Then the third purpose of the commandments is that they send us to the Savior. If those first two things were the only two things, well then it would be utter despair and hopelessness for each one of us. And that's what we need to understand, that is the situation. Those things are true, but they're not the only things that are true. God is very good to us in the laws that he gives us. God doesn't string us along in having the thought that one day maybe I'll be good enough to keep these commandments of God. He doesn't do that. God has given us commandments so that it's plain to us, if we're honest with ourselves, that we don't measure up to these things. A few years ago, when my son Ross was a bit of an athlete, he was into his long jumping. long jump was probably his best event. And schoolboy long jumping, 6 meters is the target that makes you really a respectable long jumper. And for a good while, Ross was just short of the six meters, but he continued to compete. Every now and then, he did a wee bit of training, and eventually, the day came when he achieved the 6 meter long jump, and he did it several times on the one day, and it was close enough for him to keep on thinking, I can do this. But if he'd been trying to break the world record for the long jump of 8.95 metres, he wouldn't have stuck at it, because that would just seem utterly unrealistic. Well, God, in the laws that he has given to us, has given us something where we know we're not going to make it. God has set us a standard that we cannot attain. We know we cannot keep the law of God. And therefore, the best thing that you can ever do is to give up and to realize that you cannot do it. You're not going to be able to keep the commandments of God. We cannot do what God demands that we must do. And you have to stop putting your hope in yourself and thinking, maybe I can do this. You have to stop that if you're ever going to look outside of yourself and to look to the Lord Jesus. Because the commandments of God are given to us to send us to the Savior. You have to stop looking for the hero inside yourself. Look away from yourself. And the law of God sends us to Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 verse 24 says, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's what the law is for, to lead us to Jesus Christ. We look at ourselves and we see lawbreakers. We look at ourselves and we see those who just don't have it in us to measure up to what God commands. But when we look to Jesus Christ, we see something so different. When we look to Jesus, we see someone who did keep the law of God. He kept all the laws of God. There was nothing in which anyone could find fault with him. Jesus kept the law. And God promises that if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we take him as our Savior, then our sins, many though they are, will not be held against us. But Jesus has taken those sins already upon himself, and God will count us as having kept his law because we are united with Jesus Christ. With each of the Ten Commandments, we have to look at ourselves and realize, well, I don't measure up to what God says in that commandment. With each commandment, we need to see, I need the record of Jesus Christ rather than my own record. The law is given to us to send us to the Savior. The Lord Jesus is the keeper of the law. No one ever kept the commandments of God, and therefore no one was acceptable to God. And for anyone to have acceptability with God, Jesus had to keep the law on our behalf. So the purpose of the law is to send us to the Savior. And all of us need to be sent to Jesus Christ. We must not trust in what we have done, but we must trust on what he has done for his people. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, are there to send us to the Saviour. And then the fourth purpose of God's law is that it sets us a standard. Once you trust in Christ, then the law of God is something that shows you the way God wants you to live. We don't dispense with the commandments of God whenever we become Christians. On the contrary, the law is our guide. Jesus kept the law because he knew that's what God wanted. And for Christians, it's the same. And so the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:31, he says, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith?" He says, "Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." For the person who has been saved by Christ, the law of God is a friend. God's law marks out for us the route that we're to follow in life, and it warns us of the ways that we're not to go in life. The law of God is the standard that we are to strive for. And we can know God's peace as we strive for it. Christians still sin. We still break God's law. But we're looking to that law as, this is what the will of my Father in heaven is. This is what my Father wants. So this is what I will seek to do and what I will seek to avoid. The standard that God requires is not lowered by what Jesus Christ has done for us. God's standard remains. The Ten Commandments have not been done away with. God has not said, well, this doesn't matter anymore because Jesus has kept the law. God's law abides, and it still sets a standard for God's people. So these are the four purposes of the Ten Commandments. They show us our sin. They surpass our strength. They send us to the Saviour, and they set us a standard. And these things apply in all the individual commandments. These things are true, and these things are the framework in which we need to understand each of the individual commandments. Now, in closing, there are four other things I want to mention briefly. First of all, it's important to remember who the Ten Commandments were given to. The Ten Commandments were given to people that God had just delivered from their slavery and captivity in the land of Egypt. And so, the introduction to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 2, God says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." God says, I have saved you. I have changed everything in your life. And then he says, this is what I want you to do. So God delivered the people before he gave them his law. And that order is all important. God wasn't saying to the Israelites, if you obey these laws, then I'll become your God. No, he had already shown himself to be their God. He had already shown himself to be their Savior. He had already redeemed them. And the laws of God were given to a redeemed people. And that's important to remember. For Christians today, Jesus Christ has delivered us from a worse slavery than slavery in Egypt. Jesus delivers us from slavery to sin. And out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us, we are called to obey the commands of God. Jesus says, look what I've done for you. And he says, here's what you can do for me. So God's laws are given to people who have been redeemed. The second comment I want to make is that we should see the commandments of God as being for our good. They are a token of God's love to us. The Puritan writer Thomas Watson puts it like this. He says, to obey God is not so much our duty as our privilege. He says, his commands carry meat in the mouth of them. He bids us repent, and why? That our sins may be blotted out. He commands us to believe, and why? That we may be saved. He says, there is love in every command, as if a king should bid one of his subjects dig in a gold mine and then take the gold to himself. That's what God's commands are like. There is gold for us in the commands of God. It will bring us great blessing and benefit. We are to see the commandments as being entirely for our good and as representing tokens of God's love. The third comment I want to make is that in 8 of the 10 commandments, the first word is the word you, and it means you individually. It's you singular. God in the commandments is speaking to you, and he is speaking to me. God is telling you what you are to do. God is telling you what you are not to do. And the Ten Commandments are as simple and basic and important as that. God is telling you what you're to do. God is telling you what you're not to do. They are commandments. They are not recommendations or proposals or suggestions or anything less. They are commandments. God commands. And then the final thought for today is, what does Jesus think of the Ten Commandments? Well, Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus sees the keeping of God's commandments as saying everything about whether we love the Savior. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 17, that he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. Jesus didn't come to get rid of the law of God so that it doesn't matter to us anymore, but he came to fulfill it. No one had ever kept the law of God. Here was what God had been commanding his people in every generation. No one had ever kept it. Jesus came to keep, to fulfill the law of God. And when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, he teaches in Matthew 22 from verse 37 that it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And it is also to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what the law of God's all about. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. They're all about loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's what is all important. It's all important to God that we love him, and it's all important to God that we love our neighbor also. And that's how we're to understand the Ten Commandments. That's what Jesus understood about them and taught about them. Well, these things by way of introduction. God willing, next Lord's Day, I want to consider the very first commandment. It's the first commandment that God wrote down, and there is a reason why it is the first commandment of all. Amen.